just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic, common sense, compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Wednesday. Got a little bit of a cold. Got a cold from my wife. I don't know where it's going to or how bad it will get. Right now, it's not too bad. My wife's got me taking Zicam, which is basically zinc to shorten a cold, and I'm taking other medication as well. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Now, yesterday, I had an interesting day. My wife and I both did. It was a great day, but it was taxing. We were at my son's house watching my granddaughter for literally 12 hours. Now, she didn't have school today, so she was home. My son did have to go to work. And then when he came home from work, he had to go to some city meeting afterwards. So we got there about 7:45 and we left about 8:15 in the evening. Now in the past, that's been really, really taxing, hard and tiring. And while it was tiring, it was much easier this time around. She's getting older, more mature. She's more independent, so we don't have to be on top of her every minute. She still likes to play a lot of games. We play a lot of hide and seek. We're always hiding in the very same places. Doesn't matter. She wants to play. We're playing games on the tablet. We're watching kids' shows. That's a little hard after about 2 hours of watching videos on YouTube for kids. But my granddaughter likes to play games. Now, what you have to understand is my granddaughter is all about grandma. That's her favorite person. When grandma and grandpa come in, grandma's it. She likes me. She loves me. But grandma really is the focus. Now, while she's only going to be 4 years old, she's a little smarter than some four-year-old kids are. And I get the sense that her relationship with me is a little different than grandma's. And it's more about giving me shit. Now, you might think, well, she's four. That's not the case. She's not giving you shit. But think about who her grandfather is. I give her a little shit. She gives me a little shit. And we have this back and forth. Nobody's mad at anybody. It's just good fun. But I want to see if I should take offense to this particular event that happened yesterday. My granddaughter came up to my wife and I and said, "Hey, let's play Lions." Now, when she wants to play kitty or lions, she wants to play like she's a lion. And so she looks at my wife and says, "Grandma, you're going to be the mommy lion. I'll be the baby lion." I said, "Well, honey, what am I going to be, the daddy lion?" He goes, "No, you're going to be the meat." "What? What do you mean by that?" "Well, the lions eat meat. You're going to be the meat." I said, "So you're telling me we're going to have this little cosplay thing. You guys are going to play lions, and I'm going to be an inanimate object that is consumed by you knuckleheads." And she didn't know what I was saying. And my wife said, "Sounds about right." I go, "Wow, I don't know if I should take offense to this or not." So the upside to it is all I had to do was sit there. I didn't have to crawl around on the floor, and that's one of the problems, even for my wife. When you have to get on your hands and knees and crawl around with this kid, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not good on my hands and knees anymore. My wife is a little better than I, but she hates doing it too. Anyway, we got through it. Wife was mama lion. Jenny was baby lion, and I was the fucking meat. I don't even know what the fuck that means. Anyhow, we had a good time. 12 hours with my granddaughter. It was much easier than other times in the past, and I will spend as much time with my granddaughter as I possibly can whenever given the chance. Now, we got some emails coming up we're going to talk about. We've had a lot of guests on the show, too. We had Eric yesterday. We had Alona before that and Ed before that, so it's been busy. And actually, Old Soul will be on tomorrow. So we've got a lot of great guests coming up, and I enjoy having the guests on, especially the people we've had on. But I wanted to talk about something. There's been a lot of fear about Donald Trump somehow reaping riches from his company merger, Trump Digital or whatever it's called, and then ultimately taking it public, an IPO, which he did yesterday. And I think that, you know, some of the valuations were like $5 or $6 billion, which is kind of ridiculous. It really is. Here's a company that went public. It's a company that has never made any money, never made any money, has all kinds of problems with the SEC, but still comes out with a valuation of $5-6 billion. It's crazy. This is ending up being a meme stock. It's kind of like what GameStop was. It's hot and heavy for a while, but then it obviously settles down to where it should be. And frankly, this particular stock may end up being a penny stock before it's all said and done. Everything Donald Trump touches is a fucking loser. And he's got some things happening. I mean, what happens next month? If in that process, a lot of evidence gets revealed and he ends up getting convicted of several felonies, the stock's going to take a hit. Now, a lot of people think that, well, he'll get his money from this Truth Social thing and he'll be able to dig himself out of debt. You have to understand this. Any money that he can get from this is not for another 6-8 months. He can't even touch any money in it. He can't take a loan and use that as collateral for 6-8 months. And by that time, there's going to be a lot of things happening. And I suspect the value of that stock will be far less than what we're looking at now. I mean, this is just a joke. This is a bunch of hype. This is people who couldn't get the tennis shoes, and they decided to buy this as kind of a memento. These people aren't even necessarily knowledgeable about stock. If they were, they wouldn't put their money into this bullshit. It's going to fail ultimately. This is like cryptocurrency. It's hyped up. It's valuable, but for no reason, no basis in fact, like the GameStop thing where somebody kind of gamed the system. They're trying to game the system, but it never lasts for long. So if you're worried that Donald Trump will get himself out of trouble through the money that's allegedly there, don't worry about that. He's not going to be able to tap into any money for 6 or 8 months. And then after that, there's a lot of other limitations. Donald Trump is going through some things. He's got to come up with $175 million in about 8 days. And it still remains to be seen whether he can do that. Now, he said he was going to pay it, but he says a lot of shit. He also said he had $500 million, which we know is not true. Donald Trump is a pathological liar. And everything that's going on around Donald Trump is going to fall in on him. And there's really no way out, really no way out. He can throw out these claims and suggest that he's going to get out of trouble, but it's not possible. It's not possible. All right, let's check some of the emails. Mike, hope you are well, brother. Question for you. Do you think that Marjorie Taylor Greene, a.k.a. Dollar Store Dog, the bounty hunter, threatening to oust the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is a good thing or a bad thing going into the election? This chaos has to be getting old for even the Republicanist. Yeah, I said Republicanist. I'm not sure what that means, but do I think it's a good thing or a bad thing? I don't think it's either, really. I mean, whether Mike Johnson is there or he's not, there's going to be nothing but chaos in the House of Representatives. The Republicans aren't going to get anything done. And if they keep fucking around and more people leave the Republican Party, Mike Johnson will lose the Speaker of the House role to Hakeem Jeffries when the Democrats take a minor majority. There is so much going wrong for the Republicans going into November. If they kick him out and they have to spend months trying to figure out who's going to be the next Speaker of the House, certainly not going to help them. But I don't know if they could be any worse off than they already are. That email was sent by Dennis. Dennis, thank you for making your comments. All right. Next email. Hi, Boomer. My blood boils when I run across that doughy fuck Newt Gingrich on TV smugly commenting re the tough spot Mike Johnson finds himself in. That shit stack started this whole dysfunctional mess. Why does anyone care what he says? I agree. He's old news. He's not in politics right now. He's just a loudmouth piece of shit back in the day. He's still a loudmouth piece of shit, but he has no authority. He has no power. Yeah, why do we listen to him? I sure the fuck don't. Now, the email continues. When Merrick Garland was first appointed AG, I saw him as this soft-spoken giant killer, a secret badass, if you will. I even imagined that when he came to the podium to announce an indictment on Trump, that he might wear that giant wide suit that the talking heads guy wore just to fuck with everyone. But of course, he didn't, and he's turned out to be a total bust. Right now, he should stroll to the microphone, stand on a box, and very clearly remind everyone that, number one, all of those, and we mean everyone who participated in the January 6 activities, will be pursued and indicted no matter how long it takes. And number two, he's considered espionage to rely on foreign enemy agents and information to attempt to impeach a president, and they too will see accountability. He needs to put these crazy Republican fucks in Congress back on their heels, make them quietly reflect on their current path. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think Merrick Garland could have done a lot of things. He should have been more assertive, more aggressive, put the fear of the DOJ into some of these fucks, but he refused to do it. He's just one of those guys that's worried about public opinion and stirring things up, and that's the wrong guy in the job as attorney general. That's why I say when, after the election, Joe Biden really needs to sit down with AG Merrick Garland and say, thanks for your help. You're gone. We're going to get somebody who knows how to, who understands how to do the job. Now, the email continues. On the farm in Pennsylvania, my uncles would have called Merrick a weak tit, which is a dairy farmer term referring to a non-producing udder. Best, Garage Door Jeff. P.S. You mentioned Lawrence O'Donnell on the show. I was going down one of those multi-floor escalators in a hotel somewhere. He was coming up the other way and saw me looking at him. He was completely warm and friendly and greeted me first and said, "Hi, I'm Lawrence." Seemed just like the guy you see on TV. And he's tall. Yeah, I think he's a pretty down-to-earth guy. I have no way of knowing that. I've never met him. But I do like the way he does his presentations. A lot of information, some opinion. But I think he has a real handle on what's going on and what's important. And that may have a lot to do with the fact that he was in politics for a while. He was also a writer on The West Wing. So he knows a little bit about entertainment, too. Next email comes from Gussie. She says, "Hi, Mike. You and Ed were discussing GOP congressmen resigning. If Democrats take the Congress, then Jeffries can call for a vote to ratify Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, just like the Supreme Court has declared. And like old soul, I, too, would not mind reading the doo-doo diaper Donnie's obituary." I think we would all enjoy that. Thank you, Gussie. The next email says, "Hey, Mike, just I was listening to you and Ed, and MTG was the talking point, and you said, 'Fuck MTG,' and Ed, with his perfect timing, said, 'I would rather not.'" Yes, he did. "I spit my soft drink, so perfect. On another note, I heard that a group of crows is called a murder of crows, and a group of baboons is called a congress of baboons. Maybe MAGA should learn this fact. Hope all is well and good. No PS other than call in Garage Door. Would love to hear you on the podcast. Thanks, Darren." Yeah, I've said that to Garage Door Jeff before, and I think Old Soul has suggested it too. You should come on the show. Email me. You know my email. Tell me when you're available, and we'll work it out and put you on the show. Thanks, Darren. Darren is from Montana. He's been on the show before. All right. The next email says, "Hello, Mike. I'm still enjoying your podcast here in Colorado. I have a question and a comment. First, the question. I'm not on TikTok, but I'm genuinely curious about something. You have mentioned being reported, and then apparently your live was shut down yesterday because of something you said. Also, I believe you mentioned that you were kicked out of HVAC's live because his followers reported you. For a group of people who claim to be pro-First Amendment, these Trumpers sure get triggered easily. I don't understand why they would report you. What have you ever said that violates TikTok's terms and conditions? Is it simply too much swearing for their little snowflake ears? I don't get it. Please enlighten me." Well, what it is when the pressure gets on, like somebody with HVAC, Jeff, where he can't answer a question or I'm spewing too much truth, instead of fighting back and offering some opposition using their own facts, they just get butthurt and they report you in hopes to getting you banned. And I wanted to bring something up. I did something on TikTok yesterday. I'm a little annoyed with TikTok at this point. I've gotten a couple of situations where they've sent me a note saying I was in violation on TikTok, not to get banned from the app, but to potentially get kicked out of the Creator Beta Fund, which is where they pay me a little bit of money for the views I get. And their claim against me, I've gotten a few complaints that that my recordings weren't original. I mean, it's just me sitting in my living room talking with my mouth saying the words that come out of my head. I don't know how much more original that can be. Now, generally, I win the appeal and everything's fine. The last one I got, I didn't win the appeal. So I may have had three or four in the last 30 days because I don't know why. I don't even know why this comes up. But they send me a note and says, "You got four of these violations. And if you get another one in the 30 days, we'll kick you out of the Creator Fund." I said, wait a fucking minute. I may have had three or four violations, but the appeals were overturned them on at least four of them or three of them. And the fourth one, I don't even know why it wasn't overturned. My videos aren't any different than any other video I've ever done. And I've done thousands of them. So it got frustrating to me. And I was talking to Eric. I don't know if I did it on the show or after the show, but he said, "You know what might be the problem?" I said, "I have no idea." He said, "You know, you've got all those fake accounts out there. They're using your face, your name, a variation on your name. They're even using your videos. So maybe there's some confusion there, or maybe they are reporting me." That's distinctly possible. And so I sent a note back to TikTok. I said, "Look, man, I've been here for 4 years. Good standing all the way, never been banned, don't have a backup account, just doing what I do. If you have the audacity to come here and say you're going to kick me out of the beta creator fund because of shit I didn't do, well, then you can count on me not doing anything on TikTok. I've been in the process of building a platform on YouTube, here on YouTube, if you're watching the podcast, and on Instagram and on Facebook. And if that's, you know, I'm not going to continue making TikTok money if you're going to take the money out of my pocket for not a good reason." So I sent that off to him, and I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm not opposed to doing that. Just slowing everything down on TikTok and just continue to put all the things I put on that I would have normally put on TikTok and just keep putting them on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. So we'll see what happens. I get frustrated with TikTok. You know, they're coming after me about something I didn't do. These people that are faking my account have been reported multiple times, and they've done nothing about it. So these people are specifically going out and stealing my image and then trying to sell people crypto, and they get away with it. They come to me and say, "I don't have original content to qualify for the Beta Creator Fund," which is absolutely bullshit. I have original content every time I do this. Always have and always will. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. The email continues. Secondly, I have an unrelated comment. While I love the positivity and agree with you that Trump's chances of winning are low if he is the nominee, I do think it's prudent to be proactive and make sure that your listeners in certain states know that they play a pivotal role in the election, no matter who the Republican nominee may be. I'll tell you my problem with that, what you're saying, and you're saying it in not so many words. And this is the excuse of a lot of media outlets. Well, we're telling them it's bad to make sure they go out and vote. I don't know about the rest of society, but I know the people in my audience, whether it be the Rational Boomer podcast or the TikToks or Instagram, I don't have to trick them into voting. They know what's important here, and they are going to vote, whether I tell them to or tell them not to. They're going to vote. They understand what's at stake here. And I just get a little annoyed when people say, well, you shouldn't be so positive because people just won't vote. I think that's bullshit. I think people see what's going on in this country and how vital it is. I don't have to trick them. I don't have to motivate them. I just tell them the facts. And I'm going to presume that they are adults and they are smart and they will do what they need to do. So that's why I don't play that game. Goes on to say, as you can see in the link below, it was just 44,000 votes across Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin that separated Biden and Trump from a tie in 2020 Electoral College. That's a small football stadium. If just a small number of 2020 Biden-leaning voters decide to stay home in 2024 or vote third party or write in someone's name on the ballot or a combination of reasons, it could make a huge difference, giving the razor's thin margins. Biden won only by 10,000 votes in Arizona, by 12,000 votes in Georgia, and 20,000 votes in Wisconsin. Nevada was also very close. Shout out to Old Soul for everything she's doing. While there's no doubt Biden will win the popular vote by a lot, the reason people get nervous is this ridiculous Electoral College. All I ask is that you remind your listeners in these states, as well as other close states like PA, Ohio, or Michigan, how important their vote is and how hard they need to work at getting out the vote in their local areas, because the Republican nominee need only flip a few of these states to win at all. They don't need the popular vote. Trump didn't win the popular vote in 2016, yet he still became president. As another political podcaster says, vote and bring 10 people with you. Take care and thanks for all you do, Vicky. Well, thank you, Vicky. But I think you're making a mistake. You're making the comparison of 2020 and 2024. And there is no comparison. A lot has been revealed. A lot has happened to Donald Trump. Donald Trump's prospect in 2024 aren't even close to the same thing that's what's going to happen in 2024. It's not. Now, I'm not suggesting that I'm going to say I don't vote. It's a shoo-in. Obviously, that's not the case. I mean, I talk about this shit every day, all day, and I think it's assumed that we all need to vote. I think we do. I don't want to insult my audience by, like I say, trying to trick them or goading them into do this. If they're listening to this podcast, they know exactly what they fucking have to do, and they will do it. They will do anything. But again, Donald Trump in 2020 and Donald Trump in 2024, not the same thing. Donald Trump is a far weaker candidate in 2024. He's embraced overturning Roe v. Wade, and 75% of the country disagree with him. He's going to be convicted of felony charges in the next couple of months. He's got no money. He's going to be in court all day. You can't compare 2020 to 2024, and you certainly can't compare 2024 to 2016. Donald Trump is horribly damaged as a candidate. Again, I'm not suggesting that you don't go out and vote because it's a shoo-in. I think we all know what's at stake, and I think we all need to vote. But I don't think I need to tell people the obvious, and I don't think I need to play a game to motivate them. the very things that are happening in this country, the danger this country is in, the danger that democracy is in my mind, at least the people in my audience, that's enough to motivate them to do what they need to do and go out and vote. All right, Vicki, thank you very much for the email. I agree with you, but I disagree to a certain extent in terms of how I do the podcast. All right. The next email says, hi, Mike, just a note for other listeners. I think Ilona misspoke when she referenced her podcast as Pebble in Your Shoe, when it is actually titled on Spotify as Pebble in My Shoe. I found her very interesting, so I was looking for her podcast as Your Shoe, and I had a hard time finding it. I actually stumbled upon it when I included her name in my search, and that's when I discovered the discrepancy. Just thought knowing this might help other listeners find Ilona's podcast more easily. Enjoyed the show, Jack T. Well, Jack, I will tell you this. The name of the show is Pebble in Your Shoe. That is the name of the show. And in fact, you know, she sent me a link to the show I did with her, and that's what it is. Now, that's not to say that there isn't some something with Spotify and the way it was listed there. And, you know, maybe Ilona did put it in incorrectly, but the show is Pebble in Your Shoe. So if Ilona is listening, you may want to check that out just to see if Spotify is in fact crediting you for the right name to your podcast. But it's a great podcast. I enjoyed being on the podcast. I really enjoyed having her on this podcast, and I suspect we will have her back at some point. The next email. Hey, Boomer, as I said in a comment on the good news video, Trump is obviously backed by very powerful people, which basically negates everything. After today, I'm willing to bet nothing is going to come out of these court cases and Trump will not be held accountable for anything. People like him have never been or will ever answer for their crimes in this country. If you can call it a country, it's obvious that the wealth is the only thing that matters in this country. We, the people, don't. It's safe to say the courts and these judges are all corrupt and just a show. Judge Cannon in Florida, obviously corrupt and complicit, still has not been removed. So much for tough guy Jack Smith. What the hell is he waiting for, especially when it comes to a national security issue? Ridiculous Garland. Or Garland totally and completely and probably deliberately ignoring his duties. Judge McAfee, obviously leaning towards Trump. Letitia James didn't see this coming today. Isn't that her job to see all the potential issues? As for Judge Marchand, I'm sure we'll see more BS. What else can we expect at this point? I'm not going to crawl in a fetal position. Sounds like you are. I don't know if I'm more scared or angry at this point. Anger seems to be winning. As for the election, we cannot assume anything. There are many trouble issues. The loss of votes over Gaza, the Ukraine crisis. It's time to stop thinking Trump is losing it and he's done, etc. We have to act as though he's not. It's too easy to believe that he is. Personally, today is a big wake-up call. It should be for everyone. Z-Man. Now, you know, Z-Man, how I feel about this. This sounds incredibly fatalistic. If what you say is true, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. And that's the position you put yourself in. There's nothing I can do. All is lost. The world is coming to an end. And I think that's absolute bullshit. I honestly do. To think that Donald Trump is not going to be held accountable is absolutely ridiculous. You might say that wealthy people have always gotten away with it, but again, we're dealing with different times. All the things that normally were under the radar or covered up or been able to exploit with money, they've all been exposed. They can't just shove this aside anymore. It's all in front of us. We know. And now the problem isn't, you know, convicting Donald Trump. It's not convicting Donald Trump and trying to keep us at bay. Needless to say, I disagree with you completely, Z-Man. You know, some people will say, well, nothing's ever happened to Donald Trump. I beg to differ. Donald Trump is if he gets this money, he's going to have $250 million locked up in an account, which he will ultimately lose. There's no way he's winning the appeal. That wasn't a win for him. That was just, you know, when they dropped it from 464 to 175, people threw up their hands and said, oh my God, it's over. That's fucking stupid. That's ridiculous. That's like the Republicans say, oh, we won, it's over. It's not over. First, we've got to see if Donald Trump can, in fact, come up with $175 million. But even if he does, that's money locked away until he gets his appeals done. And we know he's going to lose his appeal. Think about it this way. He's not holding anything off. He's already lost the money. And he's not going to get it back. Whether it goes right to E. Jean Carroll or the state of New York, the fact that it's out of his pocket and puts him in a bad situation is really, really the key to this thing. You're calling out some of these judges, like Juan Marchand. I find that one interesting. That's the eminent trial. That's the trial that's coming up April 15th, and that's the election interference and Stormy Daniels thing. Do you really think that he's going to get out of 34 felony charges? Do you really think that? Because if you do, Z-Man, that's fucking crazy. That's not even possible. He's not going to get away without being charged with something. And if he gets convicted of 1, 2, 10, 15 felonies, he is fucking done. If you like the polls say if he gets convicted of a felony, he's losing this fucking race. Then you throw in all the other factors here, the Roe v. Wade thing and all the crimes and corruption that's been exposed about him. As I said, the previous emailer, this is a different world. We are at a point, at a reckoning, really. All the people that have got away with things are now being pulled to the forefront. They're being exposed for who they were, and they've never been exposed before. They've always been able to slip by. These people can't slip by anymore, because we know. And if they do allow them to slip by, then there is going to be an outrage amongst 70% of this country, and they know it. They know it. You can pout. You know, when people do this and they say nothing's going to happen, it's, to me, and Z-Man, I say this with all due respect, when I hear people say that, what comes in my mind is something didn't go my way. So I'm just going to say it's all is lost and nothing's going to work and I'm going to pout about it. Z-Man, you're a better man than that. Don't fucking pout. If you can't be positive about it, then just sit back and watch. And then when it's over, I'm going to come to you, Z-Man, and say, what good did this negative attitude do for you, this country, or for the situation? It does no good. Look at the facts. Don't get emotional. Don't take it from your heart and say, well, I'm upset about this, so I think everything bad's going to happen. That's bullshit. That's really bullshit, Z-Man. And I know you're smarter than that because I've read a number of your emails. You're angry because they dropped his bond to $170 million. So the fuck what? He had to get a bond for the $91 million. Where's he going to get the bond for the $175 million? You notice when they gave him the 10 extra days and they dropped his bond to $175 million, did you hear him crowing about it? Did you hear him yelling and cheering and say, I'm the guy I want? He didn't, because lowering the bond wasn't as helpful to him. If he got his way, what he wanted to do is be able to not pay anything and sit on it till the appeal was over and put it off for 6 months to a year. He didn't get that. He did not get that. So Donald Trump did not win. And if you're going to pout about it and be upset about it, you go do you. But I'm not dumb enough to buy into that bullshit. All right. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. On every show, I tell you that if you have questions, comments, or complaints,
just reach out to me at rationalboomer@gmail.com. Those emails come directly to me, and your input is crucial to this show. The show is called Rational Boomer Podcast, but that's not to suggest that I'm the Rational Boomer. I am not. I am simply a Rational Boomer. All of you are Rational Boomers. Anybody of a like mind is a Rational Boomer. Strength comes in numbers and not through an individual. You have perceptions and insights that may have never occurred to me. This isn't a show about me. This is a show about us and gaining a voice in this country. There's 70 million baby boomers in this country. Yeah, I know the younger folks would prefer to push us aside. Every generation has done that. But we are a formidable force if we can get together and speak in one voice. This is why I encourage you to let your friends and family know about the Rational Boomer Podcast, not to satisfy my ego, but to give us more power, a stronger voice, to help right this ship we call the United States of America. Lastly, I'm offering the opportunity for my listeners to be on the show. Now, it could be 2 minutes, it could be a half hour, it could be the whole fucking show. I'd much rather have you on the show than somebody pimping a podcast or a book. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you know. The Rational Boomer Podcast is all about us.
Just one more comment about Z-Man's email. And again, you know, we've talked about this. People have come to me and said, you're too mean to Mike or Z-Man. And we're just having an interplay here. I have no anger toward Z-Man. I appreciate the fact that he emails the show and he talks about the things he does. He's a smart guy. I have no problem with it. But Z-Man is like so many other people in this country. And maybe I'm the weird one because I don't do that. That might be because everybody else I know does the same thing. But I will tell you this, whether you're dealing with politics and the government and Donald Trump or things in your own life, if you've got an important problem, an issue to deal with, the moment you become emotional and reactionary, that's the moment you lose. You've got to be able to compartmentalize or separate yourself out from the emotions. You've got to be able to stop and think and make good choices and base them on facts and truth, and you'll be better off in the long run. I know that's a lot to ask for a lot of people. Again, I may be the weird one that does that, and maybe I am. And I learned it over my lifetime dealing with my father and all those sorts of things. So maybe I'm the odd one out. But I know from experience, when you get emotional and you react as opposed to think, and then you go into this pouting stage, well, it's not going my way, so then nothing's going to go my way. I'm just going to pout. I think some people think that's going to help them. If they show their complete disdain, somebody will say, oh, no, we can't have them that mad, so we'll fix it for them. That doesn't work that way. Nobody fucking cares. Don't be emotional about this shit. I've told you before, when it comes to going at what's going on in the government, what's going on with Donald Trump, most everything that's going on, we have no control over. And if we have no control over it, all we can do is watch and do our job by talking about it and voting properly. We have no control over what's going on, so there's no point in worrying about it or getting upset about it. That's a hard lesson for a lot of people to learn, but I think you'll find it's very effective if you can figure that out. All right, another guy may be getting a little emotional, but maybe he's right. This comes from Don. He says, 175 million in extra 10 days. Judges bribed, follow the money. Are the judges bribed in this case in New York? Well, you know, that's potentially possible. I mean, we're talking about New York. We're talking about people that have a lot of money and have gotten away in the building trades and the development business, clearly have gotten away for decades with committing crimes and doing illegal things. Is there money paid to these judges, and that's why they gave them the $175 million as opposed to the $464? Possible. It's possible. I doubt it, but it's possible. I think he's more getting a lot of leeway because he's a former president. He's running for president, and they're scared to death about getting backlash from the people. They should know by now that's not going to happen. The vast majority of people in this country don't support Donald Trump, but they're still sucked into Donald Trump's mouth and his ability to say the fucking crazy shit he does. I don't know if it was a bribe. I'm suspecting it's not. But it doesn't matter. It is what it is. Like I said, we can't control it, so deal with it. All I can say is we knew it was $464 million a few days ago. Now it's $175 million. No reason to cry over spilt milk. Let's just look at this and see what's happening. He didn't get the ability to stay this situation without putting money down. And that's ultimately what he wanted to do. Do we know that he can get the $175 million? Maybe. It'll be interesting to see where he gets it from if he does, because whoever he's getting it from better realize that they're going to fucking lose it. Because as soon as the appeal fails, they're going to suck up the money, and this guy is going to be looking at Donald Trump to try to get his money back. And Donnie Trump don't have any money. So if somebody does give him money, they're flushing it down the toilet, basically. All right, the next email says, "Hi, Mike. Within minutes of us wrapping up our post-podcast chat, I saw on TikTok the video of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsing. I saw the video before I got any notification about this story. This is a huge tragedy, and I hope the recovery efforts go well. However, thus just highlights the difference between Trump and Biden's presidency. Trump would have probably tried to punish Singapore for this and try to withhold funds to Maryland because they aren't loyal enough to him. Biden, on the other hand, has pledged the money to repair the bridge and will come from federal government with no strings. And that is what a president does. This is just another glaring, obvious reason why we have to reelect Joe Biden. The Supreme Court heard arguments on the Mifepristone case today. It seems that they are possibly looking at Comstock Act of 1873 as a way to ban Mifepristone being mailed. This act outlawed the mailing of obscene materials or materials that could be used in an abortion. Normally, the age of a law shouldn't matter, so it being from 1873 to me isn't relevant. However, some people could argue that it hasn't really been enforced in so long that it no longer applies. I did a quick look into this law and found something remarkable. In 1873, Mr. Comstock went to Congress and bullied and pushed every member of Congress to agree that we needed to control what was being mailed because of the stuff he considered obscene. After it was passed, he got himself appointed to oversee the act and unilaterally arrest and charge people who mailed these things he didn't agree with. Publishers had to edit books, magazines, and newspapers for fear of being targeted by Mr. Comstock. Pharmacists and the like had to be careful that the drugs and other things they ordered weren't considered contraceptive in any way, because if Mr. Comstock decided it was immoral or obscene, it had to go. This law is utterly ridiculous once you dig into its history. It hasn't seriously been enforced probably since Mr. Comstock's passing in 1915. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to resurrect this law, but it should be left dead. If they do use it to outlaw the mailing of Mifepristone, then as soon as the Democrats are in control of Congress, it needs to be repealed. Dirty Diaper Donnie had two setbacks come out today. First, he got gagged in the hush money case, which we will talk about here shortly. We said that he would, and it is one of the strongest gag orders yet. I'm guessing he will violate it before April 15th, and the judge will probably only warn him once. The warning will basically say, do it again, and you get a night or two in cell. Lastly, did you hear that Trump is now selling God Bless the USA Bibles? Yeah, I heard that. These Bibles contain not only the King James Version of the Bible, but the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Pledge of Allegiance, and more. It's amazing how this supposedly religious right in our country will eat that stuff up and not call them out on it. It's despicable. I guess Dirty Diaper Donnie lives by the quote from P.T. Barnum, which says there's a sucker born every minute. And that's from Eric. He was the guest yesterday, and he's from Iowa. And I saw an interesting meme, and this is coming from Liz Cheney regarding Donald Trump selling Bibles. Says, Cheney trolls Trump Bible sale. She said, you should probably buy one and read what it says about adultery. Yeah, Donnie, you should maybe read one once and again. Yeah, he's selling Bibles. All right. This one comes from Joe. This is the last email. Love your show each day. Thank you for all you do. Here is a topic. Another one bites the pillow ass up. And it's from CBS News in Minnesota. And it has to do with Mike the Pillow Guy Lindell. Now, 3 years ago, Mike Lindell started to claim that he had blockbuster evidence that absolutely proved that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. He's had symposiums, he's had hearings, he's had TV shows, and to date, he has yet to produce a single shred of evidence. And this has caused him a problem. It's cost him a lot of money. And you would think, after failing a number of times, you might say, well, I'm going to get out of this. I'm not going to fucking do this. I'm going to quit. But not good old Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell had a company, MyPillow, that was a going concern. It was a thriving company. A lot of people worked for him. He was making millions of dollars. If he could just keep his mouth shut, fly under the radar, he could die a wealthy man. But Mike Lindell couldn't do that. So he continued to double and triple down and quadruple down, and he's failed all along the way. He's pretty much run that company into the fucking ground. And it was just reported yesterday. Now, keep in mind, Mike Lindell is from Minnesota, my home state. And in fact, he's got a warehouse and his headquarters not too far away from where I live. So I drive by it frequently. But apparently Mike Lindell, he was selling off some of his machines. Now he's getting evicted from one of his warehouses because he's $200,000 behind in rent. And it doesn't stop there because he's looking to get evicted from his headquarters too in Chaska here in Minnesota. Again, because he's way behind in rent. He doesn't have any money. He was a wealthy guy at one point, but because he chose to do what he did, he's now fucked. Now, I don't care what happens to Mike Lindell, but I'm a little troubled by all those good people that probably worked for Mike Lindell. They had a career at MyPillow. They could have maybe worked 30 years if Mike Lindell wasn't a fucking idiot. So I'm suspecting that many, if not all, these people are losing jobs at a time when it's not the best time to lose a job, and they're going to have to look for something else. And then when people say, well, what's on your resume? Where did you work last? And then they have to tell him that he worked at MyPillow. Jesus Christ. Mike Lindell is done. He's been done for a long time, and I just feel sorry for the people that worked for him. They didn't ask for this. They would hope better from their boss, but Mike Lindell fucked up big time, and he refuses to acknowledge it and step back and try to save his company. He's still doubling and tripling down, still talking about this blockbuster evidence that's going to come out in 2 weeks or whatever the fuck it is. It's a sad story. It's a very sad story. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. All right, it was brought up in the emails. A New York judge, Judge Juan Marchand, Tuesday, issued a gag order barring Donald Trump from making public statements about witnesses, prosecutors, court staff, and jurors in his upcoming hush money criminal trial. Judge Juan Marchand cited Trump's previous comments about him and others involved in the case, as well as a looming April 15th trial date, granting the prosecution's request for a gag order. Now, it is without question that the imminency of the risk of harm is now paramount, Marchand wrote. Turns out Donald Trump was even talking about Juan Merchan's daughter, who's not involved in the case at all, but may have some Democratic background. Prosecutors had asked for the gag order, citing what they call his long history of making public and inflammatory remarks about people involved in his legal case. The order also bars Trump from making directing others to make public statements about people involved in the trial, but it does not apply to the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg because he's an elected official. So he can talk shit about Alvin Bragg, but nobody else. Now, the gag order adds to restrictions put in place after Trump's arraignment last April that prohibited him from using evidence in the case to attack witnesses. Now, Donald Trump will certainly violate this gag order. And Z-Man may be right. He'll get one warning. But if you think Donald Trump between now and April 15th will only violate it once, I think you're mistaken. He's freaking out about this court case. This is everything to him, this criminal court case with 34 felony charges. He's going to get convicted, and that fucks up his life, fucks up his election, it fucks up everything, and he's freaking the fuck out. Now, to suggest that Juan Merchan might react like Enguerrand in a civil matter, I don't think that's the case. I mean, when Donald Trump was in court with his lawyers on the 25th, trying to figure out the date, the start date for this trial, and Judge Juan Merchan said it's going to be April 15th. Donald Trump's team was freaking out. And in the end, Judge Merchan was yelling at these people. He was frustrated. He was alienated by these people. Juan Merchan's a different guy, and criminal court's a much different deal. If Donald Trump can't keep his mouth shut, he might very well spend a couple days in jail, and that's going to be interesting. I don't think Juan Merchan is going to be worried about what the people might think. He's got a criminal trial that's going on, and he can't afford somebody going off the fucking deep end in front of the jurors. He's got to keep the courtroom safe and non-chaotic. So to think that Juan Merchan is going to let him off, I just disagree. I don't think he can afford to do that if Donald Trump refuses to shut the fuck up. All right. We talked about this bridge in Baltimore. And former Fox News and CBS reporter Laura Logan went off the rails in a segment on Steve Bannon's War Room, concocting an elaborate conspiracy theory that the Baltimore Bridge disaster was actually a cyber attack directed against the United States and somehow tied to the theories that the 2020 presidential election was rigged. I mean, this is fucking absolutely ridiculous. This shows how desperate they are. Anything that bad happens, they'll try to tie it into Joe Biden or the election fraud that they're claiming. And it's hilarious to even listen to them. Anybody with common sense is going to laugh at this, but they're still trying, and they are desperate to gain some traction. Unfortunately, they are not. Now, Logan said, this is what you call a death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolute catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen, just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machines that you cannot see. Oh, you're still going with that, that the voting machines were somehow hacked, and that's why Donald Trump lost. I dare you to say that louder. Let's talk about Dominion. Let's talk about Smartmatic and see if you don't get your ass sued and then how you change your tune at that fucking point. She goes on to say, there's not a direction that you can look in, Steve. We have our leaders, she continued. People in power have been systematically dismantling the defenses of the United States of America. And this attack is a wake-up call. Open your eyes and realize that you're facing because they cannot afford for this election to take place. Please, motherfucker. You're talking about dropping defenses, Joe Biden. And there's been no indication that he's done that. But there's every indication that that's what Donald Trump and the Republicans did on January 6, 2021, when this rogue group of mouth-breathing, red meat-eating pieces of shit were allowed to attack the Capitol. Donald Trump specifically held off the National Guard. It wasn't Nancy Pelosi. It was Donald Trump. Donald Trump enjoyed what happened. He relished in it. And you have the audacity to say that Joe Biden is the one that's dropping our defenses? Please, motherfucker. Try to deal with some facts. She goes on to say they cannot afford for Donald Trump to come into power, and there is absolutely nothing they won't do. There was nothing they will stop at nothing to prevent that from happening. Now, Logan was a reporter on CBS's 60 Minutes until 2018. Are you fucking kidding me? She was put on leave of absence after a story about the Benghazi attack was found to have significant factual errors. She left after her contract expired. Oh, Laura was caught lying. Imagine that. Now, Logan, who has promoted the QAnon conspiracy theory, is not alone in pushing elaborate counter-narratives about why a Singaporean cargo vessel lost power and crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. As of Tuesday night, six people were presumed dead. Now, Alex Jones, the notorious InfoWars webcaster, also argued that the ship was forced into the bridge by a cyber attack, claiming the crash looks deliberate and could be an opening salvo in World War III. Where are you getting that from? I saw a video from a long distance, and it doesn't tell you anything. Are we supposed to believe that Laura Logan and Alex Jones is some inside track? Well, you've been notoriously wrong in everything you fucking said, and you've been held accountable for being wrong. Laura Logan got fired from 60 Minutes. Alex Jones got destroyed in a lawsuit to the tune of $1.6 million. So now we're supposed to believe you? Please. Anybody that believes these motherfuckers are sad and sorry motherfuckers. All right, we heard the news the other day that Ronna McDaniel, the former head of the RNC, was hired by NBC. And the entirety of NBC and MSNBC were outraged by it. They were kicking back about it. And for good reason. This is the woman that said there was election fraud. This is the woman that said that the January 6th people that were convicted are political prisoners. Now she gets on NBC and she changes her tune. She basically says whatever she needs to say, depending on who's fucking paying her. Well, people didn't like this and they pushed back. So NBC News cut ties Tuesday with former Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel, less than a week after hiring her as an on-air political contributor, a decision that followed a furious protest by some of the journalists and commentators. Now, in announcing the decision in a memo, NBC Universal News Group Chairman Cesar Conde apologized to staff members who felt let down by the hire, acknowledging he signed off on it. Why would you sign off on it? Conde, you're in the news business. You knew everything you needed to know about Ronna McDaniel, but still you signed off on it. I'm sorry, an apology isn't going to work. Your apology isn't about making the wrong choice. Your apology is about fucking getting caught and getting called out. This is what I've said about the media. You can hate Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, and all those, but you got to keep a close eye on the left-leaning media outlets. They're not all sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns either. There are some distinct problems there. And now, of course, somebody like Geraldo Rivera comes out and is screaming about her getting fired and saying it's censorship. Really, Geraldo? Do you even understand what fucking censorship is? Clearly you don't. They fired your ass from Fox News for obvious reasons. Is that censorship? Or is that because you're inept and incompetent and too old to be doing this shit? There's no law against that. And the fact that Ronna McDaniel got fired, it was because of who she was, not trying to censor the truth. Because If you're suggesting that they're trying to censor the truth, then please explain why Ronna McDaniel has been allowed to flat out lie and stir things up in this country regarding the January 6th prisoners and the election. There's no two ways about it. She flat out fucking lied, and she should not be awarded with a plum job on a fucking left side media outlet. And if they had let that happen, MSNBC would have taken a serious fucking hit. People would just ignore them. They would lose ratings like nobody's business. But as Ed and I talked about, I think the goal was that they're seeing Fox News going to be losing a lot of viewers come this election and come the next lawsuit with Smartmatic. So they wanted to get somebody in there so they could scoop up some of the Fox News viewers. They don't care if they're fucking crazy and in a cult. They just want the viewers. They want the money. So they took a chance and they did this, but they got caught. They got called out, and now they look fucking stupid. Now, somebody else brought this up earlier. Donald Trump is once again praying literally and figuratively on his followers. Because Donald Trump, fresh off selling tennis shoes, and he knew that was a good idea because black people love tennis shoes. But now he's selling Bibles, as noted in a previous email. This motherfucker is desperate. He's selling Bibles for $59.99 a piece. Now, knowing Donald Trump, he probably stole these fucking Bibles from all the hotels, the Motel 6s, that are stuffed in a drawer someplace in every hotel. Donald Trump isn't doing this himself. Some knucklehead got the brilliant idea and said, if you attach your name, we'll give you a royalty off it. And Donald Trump can't turn down a fucking bit of money, no matter how stupid and how crazy it is. Now this $60 version of the good book adds text of the Pledge of Allegiance, the Bill of Rights, the U.S. Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. All things you can go on the internet and download if you like. You don't have to pay $69 for it or $59 for it. But wait, there's more. The GBTUB, the good book, Trump, whatever fuck, also has a page featuring the chorus of Lee Greenwood's patriotic standard, God Bless the USA, in the singer's own handwriting. Trump really pushed the Bible in a three-minute video that Mediaite described as utterly bonkers. Now, here's some of the choice bits of what he said. He says, and this is very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them, and I don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being treated to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. No, you're not. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. And I truly believe that we need to bring them back here, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. Now, this is Donald Trump just trying to appeal to the evangelicals, who he's already pissed off, by saying, yeah, maybe we could go 16 weeks on Roe v. Wade. They don't like that. So now he's got to try to get them back, and he's selling this cheap-ass Bible in hopes that he'll make some money from it. But he won't. Certainly not enough, nowhere what he needs. Donald Trump is hemorrhaging money right now. Not only the money he has to put up for a bond, he's paying tens of millions of dollars in legal fees, and he's still got to run a campaign, but he's got no money to run a campaign. So he decides to take over the RNC and bleed them dry. But unfortunately, the RNC doesn't even have that much money. So Donald Trump is in bad shape. He's fundraised about half as much as Joe Biden, and it's going to get worse for him. The fact that he took over the RNC will cause a lot of people not to send him money. Millionaire donors have backed off of Donald Trump. He's not a good fucking bet. Anyway, Donald Trump says all Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many, and it's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. That's rich coming from a guy who doesn't go to fucking church, probably never read the Bible. Everything he does is contrary to what the Bible and the Ten Commandments tell us. But Donald Trump will try to get motherfuckers to believe his bullshit, and some of them will. He says religion is so important, it's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. Well, he's under the misconception that this country is based on Christianity and religion, and it's not. Nowhere in the Constitution did it say that. The fact of the matter is, when people came to America, it was about religious freedom. You can believe whatever you want. Trying to shove Christianity down the throats of a bunch of people who have other beliefs is just contrary to what the Constitution says. So if you buy one of the books, read the fucking Constitution and see what happens. See what the fuck happens. All right. Last thing we're going to cover is not about politics per se, but it's big news. And we're going to talk about Sean Diddy Combs. Apparently, he's allegedly enticed participants into sex trafficking ring by offering proximity to his popularity and implying those in his inner circle would have access to celebrities, athletes, and even royalty like Prince Harry. Yeah, his name came up, according to a civil lawsuit filed by Rodney Jones, a former producer, last month. Now, in late February, Jones accused Combs of extensive sexual abuse and harassment in claims filed to the Southern District Court of New York, in which he said the rapper used his lavish parties and social status to recruit people into participating and facilitating the alleged sex trafficking venture. Now, in the court filings made on Monday, Jones's lawyer wrote that Mr. Combs was known for throwing the best parties and that an affiliation with Combs provided his associates with legitimacy, immense success, and access to the top and emerging artist. Celebrities, famous athletes, political figures, musicians, and international dignitaries like British Royal and Prince Harry. It's unclear why the Duke of Sussex was the only figure singled out by the names in Jones' suit. Well, because it's news. Harry has apparently only been photographed with Combs once alongside his brother Prince William and rapper Kanye West after the artist played a 2007 concert tribute to Harry and William's late mother, Princess Di. Now, what this is all about is very similar to the Epstein situation. I mean, it's pretty extensive, and it's pretty disgusting when you hear some of the things that are going to be claimed. I think that we remember when R. Kelly was arrested and gone through trial. I think that would be minor compared to what we're going to hear with P. Diddy. A lot of people have come out and made some horrific claims about P. Diddy. And he's on the run. I don't even know if he's been caught yet. Last I heard, he was on a plane trying to leave the country. I don't even know if that's true. But he'll get caught. And they're talking about the possibility of video cameras all over his complex, which is very reminiscent of Jeffrey Epstein. And if there are cameras all around his complex, then we'll see if the wealthy people who were involved and naturally, there would be some wealthy and famous people involved if they're successful in shutting this down and not releasing names and pictures and video of famous people that might have been involved. This is a fucking mess. And I'm starting to feel like in 2024, this is a reckoning period. We've got wealthy people. We've got famous people. We've got powerful people that have ran under the radar for years doing criminal, corrupt, horrific things and always getting away with it because they had money and power. Well, these people with money and power are now being exposed, and that's why I'm saying we're looking at a reckoning. Donald Trump has 91 felony charges. He has lawsuits coming out his ass. Sean Diddy Combs gets exposed. Quiet on set. about the Nickelodeon thing. A lot of people who've gotten away with it for a long time are getting exposed, and this might be a turning point in this country. Let's hope that's the case. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.